The date was 4 BC. The place, Bethlehem. Good morning. My name is Gaspar, and I was part of that story that you heard. I believe it's from your book of Matthew, chapter 2. I understand that I'm what you call one of the wise guys. And today you're going to listen to a sermon called Christmas Devotion. Well, I know about Christmas devotion, and therefore I wanted to get up here before your pastor Dave got up here to tell you all about what true Christmas devotion actually is all about. So let me tell you my story. I was raised in an area that you know as Iraq. I loved to study and to learn, and I was always asking the questions about all sorts of things. One of my favorite things to do was to stay up late at night and to just gaze at the stars in the sky. And I got to the point where I could close my eyes and point up my finger, and I knew exactly what star was there. I knew what planet, without even actually looking. I never got tired of doing this. And one night, as I was out late, once again, much older, I was laying flat on my back after a long day, and I noticed something that I had never seen before. It was a brand new star. A brand new star in the sky. This had to be a mistake. My mind must be going in with my old age. But no, I needed to make sure that this wasn't a mistake. So I committed the constellations and the charts, and I looked at all of my resources, and there is no star there. But just to be sure, I needed to go out the next night. And the next night, and I determined that what I had seen was actually a new star. I kept the discovery to myself because I wanted to see that it would continue to appear. I didn't want to make a fool of myself amongst my fellow wise guys. And sure enough, it showed up every night until I was determined to discover what this meant. But then I noticed something even more strange about this star. This star seemed to be moving. Now, don't get me wrong, all the stars move. But this one was moving in the wrong direction. All of the other stars, they go this direction. This one was going this. It was wrong. There was something special about this star. So I ran to my fellow stargazers, excited to tell them the news. But it wasn't news to them. They had also seen it. And we debated as to what it could possibly mean. We did some very complicated calculations. Most of us came to the conclusion that this star must signify something like the birth of a king. The birth of a ruler had to be associated with this bright star in the sky. And I can't quite adequately explain how much I was drawn to this star. Others seemed to forget about it after a while, but I was fixated on this star of wonder, this star of night, a star of royal beauty, bright. Man, I feel like singing. Just wish I had a tune. I'll have to talk to that Kira girl, see if she knows it. Anyways, I was determined to find out what this star is all about. I was determined to follow it no matter where it led me. But something was nagging me, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And so I decided to do some research in the historical archives. Perhaps there was something in those that would help me understand. And then I remembered, we're the wise guys. We were taught by a man named Daniel years and years ago. Centuries earlier, our country had attacked this tiny little nation of Judah, brought back some of their best and their brightest, and among them was Daniel. He was an amazing individual. He had this ability to not only interpret dreams, he even told the great king Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was all about. And then I searched the Jewish scriptures, and I found in what is known as Daniel 1:17, which refers to Daniel and his friends, the original wise men. My relatives were also considered wise men. They couldn't interpret the king's dreams. They were in danger of being executed. But Daniel saved the day when he told the king not only what the dream that he had a dream, but what the dream was and what it meant. How he did that could only be divine. And I remember hearing that Daniel often talked about a coming king. And in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25, it says, the anointed one, the ruler. We researched and revered these scrolls, and I started scrolling through the Jewish scriptures, and I came across some more passages. In Numbers chapter 24, it says, a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. Could this star in the sky be the star that would come out of Jacob? In the Psalms, it says, the king of Tarshish and of distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. All kings will bow down before him, and nations will serve him. I knew what I had to do. I knew exactly what I had to do. Their prophet Isaiah says this, nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. I know I'm not really a king. I get it. I'm not really a king, but this bright light was pointing to a newborn king. We couldn't delay. And that night I checked the star again, and it appeared to be saying to me, hurry up, follow me. I'll lead you to the one that you have been looking for. The star was westward leading, still proceeding, guiding me to that perfect light. Man, I really got to get attuned for this. There's something there. Anyways, so I started gathering some gold and other valuable gifts. And I spread the word amongst my fellow wise men, and we needed to go see this king. I was surprised that many were willing to join me on this journey. And our adrenaline was pretty elevated at the beginning, but then things got difficult when we realized what we were trying to do. I mean, we were traveling a long, long ways. It was difficult because we couldn't travel during the day. We were following a star. It had to be at night. Beyond that, there were those nights where it was cloudy and you couldn't see the star. And we were like, twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder where you are. Up above the... Never mind, more singing in my head. But you know what I'm talking about. We wanted to get there. And it was filled, it was cold at night, not quite as cold as it is in this country. My goodness, what have you done with the heat? But it was cold some nights. There's dangerous animals lurking in the darkness. All sorts of things that wanted to discourage us. Some of you have set out on a journey to discover Christ, only to be met with doubts and difficulties. Waiting is not easy, especially during the day. The days. Oh, if I could import some of that heat to here. Oh, the days were so hot. I hear you guys have a way of dealing with heat, this air conditioning thing. No such thing in our tents. We were grateful for any type of breeze. Waiting during the, trying to sleep in that heat and travel in the cold of night. It's the desert is a strange place. But we made this journey. I was confident, so confident that this amazing star was pointing to the greatest king of all. And I needed to see that king. Why was the path so hard? Why was it so difficult to find what we were looking for? Nothing seemed easy anymore, but several of us wanted to turn back. It was especially challenging when we met fellow travelers who made fun of us for chasing a star. There were times when I really didn't feel like I was a very wise man. Because frankly, our journey seemed so foolish. What possible difference could this newborn king make to our lives? What if I missed it? What if I miss it all? How could this change my life? We were so tired. So many wanted to go back home because they could make money advising our own king, doing all sorts of things. We weren't doing any of that now. But we proceeded on because the star never stopped moving. After many months of travel, we finally arrived at the capital of Israel. Let me tell you, that place is a backward place. Such a primitive land compared to where I am from. It's under Roman rule. It's no wonder they're backwards. But beyond that, there's just one problem. Nobody's celebrating the birth of a king. Maybe it hadn't happened yet. Maybe it wasn't here yet. Maybe we arrived in time. But nobody was celebrating. Everybody looked like they were just going about their normal tasks. And as we asked around, we realized we're lost. We are lost. I hate to admit it, but this happens to even the wisest of men. Some have suggested this whole story would have been so much different and better had it been a group of wise women who made the trip, because they would have asked for directions, they would have made it to Bethlehem, they would have helped deliver the baby, they would have dressed up the stable to make it look beautiful, and they would have cleaned everything, they would have had a decent meal, they would have brought more useful gifts. All of it would have been different if women were involved. But we are wise men. We are wise men. We don't need directions. We have a star. In any case, Our large delegation grew the attention and impact of King Herod, who was willing to see us, and we were really excited and assumed that this newborn king must be known to Herod. He is King Herod. He must know about this. And we were face to face with him. We asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." We expected Herod to be happy with our question. We expect everybody to be happy when they see us. Instead, he was greatly disturbed because, well, the Roman Senate had named him King of the Jews. Actually, he was extremely agitated. He started asking us questions, and he got visibly angry, almost shaking. We began to get a little bit nervous. We were wise men. We knew his reputation. We were really nervous because we heard about Herod. He was actually a little bit mad. He was crazy with power. Over the years, he had killed many people. His brother-in-law, his mother-in-law, two of his sons, one of his wives. He murdered out of spite. He killed to stay in power. And we just walked into his den and said, "Where's the new king?" Not so wise. Herod called together a meeting with all of his religious leaders and teachers of the law and asked them what they knew about this newborn king. Where was he to be born? These religious experts didn't hesitate. They didn't need to pull out commentaries or scrolls or anything. They knew what the prophet Micah had written 700 years earlier in Bethlehem in Judea. They knew it. Now that Herod knew where the birth took place, he wanted to figure out when it happened. And so he called a secret meeting with just us. He seemed crazed, and he wasn't really good at hiding it. He thought he was, but wise guys, remember? We could tell what was in his heart. We knew it wasn't good. He attempted to seem genuine. He was adamant, and he wanted to know the exact time the star had first appeared to us. And so we told him, and he got out a calendar and told us, "Go and make careful search for the child. And as soon as you have found him, report to me that I too may worship him." Yeah, right. Who did he think we were? We could tell Herod wanted to wipe him out. Incidentally, there's still a lot of hypocrisy when it comes to worship today. Many people say that they worship, but their worship is really centered upon themselves and not God. Anyways, we now knew where to go, and so we quickly left the palace. We went and got to the outskirts of Jerusalem, and we saw the star again. That amazing star. And we were really pumped because we were so close. We were in a hurry because Bethlehem is only 5 miles away. And the star guided us, and it stopped right over the place where the child was. Now, your book of Matthew got it very correct when it called Jesus a child. It's the word for toddler in your language. He was no longer a newborn. We had missed the birth. We missed it by quite a bit. It had been over a year since we began preparing to come, and the star had been there almost 2 years. For a moment, we doubted that we had found a great king. I mean, the star was shining brightly over the house, but everything else didn't seem right. There was no sign of royalty, no wealth. There was no trumpets blaring. It was a house, not a palace. There were no guards, no formal announcements of our party. There was nothing like King Herod's palace. It was a tiny little house. In fact, we didn't all fit in the house. It was just small. It didn't seem right, and yet we were drawn to the child, because the child seemed to radiate with even more beauty and more. He was so much more. The star was nothing. His mother told us the story about the baby and the visit from an angel and the conception of the Holy Spirit and the birth. And her husband, he spoke about shepherds and more angels. And how these shepherds came and they worshiped Jesus on the night that he was born. And Joseph explained that the name Jesus was given to him because he would save his people from their sins. Without a word spoken between us, we began to bow down and fall flat on the floor, and we began to worship. This doesn't show up in your English Bibles, but in the original, Matthew captures it beautifully. Having fallen, they prostrated themselves before him. I had never met or seen a king like this before. He was young, but he commanded our attention and our adoration and our devotion. And before we gave what we had in our hands, we first gave our worship to Jesus. We were all wealthy. We were wise. And yet we bowed down and we worshiped the child. We gave our gifts to him. And God desires your person and then your possessions. We continued, we considered Jesus so worthy that we had to give him things of great worth. We gave him gold. We gave him frankincense and so much myrrh. That night, we had spent time with Jesus. But that night, we were each awoken because we had seen a messenger of God that night. We had been warned not to go back to Herod. We already knew that. But don't go back to Herod. Return home, traveling the southern route. Now, realizing that we had tricked him, Herod freaked out. He ordered the cold-blooded murder of all the males less than 2 years of age. Herod the Great had become the butcher of Bethlehem. He was addicted to power, obsessed with possessions, focused on prestige, filled with paranoia. There's a way better way to live than that. And after we left the land of Israel, we had a long time to think through what we had learned. Now, before the service, I shared these thoughts with your pastor. And I've got a long journey home and a game to get to this afternoon. So he's going to take a little bit of time to explain what I was talking about. To tell you all about the five choices that you have to make this Christmas. I hear he's a handsome man. Oh, hi, guys. The first thing that we need to do is respond. We have to respond to how God is trying to reach you. Don't be surprised at what God will use to get your attention. He is so infinitely creative in the ways that he speaks to people who seem to be so far from him. He can use a star. He can use a book, a conversation, a television show, a song, or even a chance comment from a person. If God can reach the pagan wise men, he can reach anyone. The bright star served as a travel guide for this group of Christmas seekers. It was God's gift of direction as it pointed them to the King of Christmas, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, Emmanuel, God with us. And wise men still seek him today. In my life, I think back to how my grandfather, who told me on several occasions, God was calling me to be a pastor. He kept telling me, Dave, God is calling you to be a pastor. You're just not listening to him. He was right. I wasn't. It took many years before I actually believed him and heard the call on my life. Perhaps God has someone cross your path. Someone at work or a neighbor, a parent, a grandparent, perhaps a friend at school. Someone whose light is bright and whose love is real and whose faith is so compelling that you found yourself wanting what he or she had. Some of you know exactly who that person is. Some of you haven't wanted to follow that. You've been seeing the direction, but you just don't want to go there for whatever reason. It's not easy to listen to a star who might be your spouse or a parent, pointing out the direction that you need to go. But maybe God is trying to get your attention through your own child, through your neighbor, through a friend, through Maranatha. God is calling you. It's your responsibility to respond. Second, you need to determine to go, not just know about it. The religious leaders who should have known better missed Christmas because they were unwilling to journey 5 miles to Bethlehem. Oh, I get it, the idea of walking 5 miles. That seems like, no, it really isn't. They should have done it. They should have been willing to go on that journey. I don't know why it is, but those of us who are religious are often the most indifferent. We are set in our ways. It's not enough to know. We must also go. The wise men made a long journey to find Jesus. They are putting their feet to their faith. They traveled not 5 miles, but roughly 1,700 miles to meet Jesus. Thankfully, we don't need to go to Bethlehem to meet Jesus. We can do it right here. But you have to make that decision to go to Him. And when you've made that decision to go to Him, then the third thing is to believe and receive Jesus as King. Because the ultimate Christmas question is, where is the one born King? Do you know what the first question in the Old Testament is? It actually comes from God Himself in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Where are you? Adam and Eve had just sinned, and God came to the garden and said, where are you? They'd always been ready to meet Him before that. And we've been trying to hide from Him ever since. But thankfully, God has come looking for us, and He has sent His Son to be our Savior. Have you found the one who is born King? Are you still stuck in the discovery path? Ultimately, you and I must get to the part of our journey where we live our lives of total devotion to Him. Perhaps doubt has tripped you up. We'll talk more about that next week. We must move from the cradle to the cross of Christ. Did you know that only 1% of the verses in the gospel center on the birth of Jesus? The other 99 are focused on why He was born, to live and to die as our sin substitute. And I can tell you this, if you sincerely want to discover Jesus, your destination will lead you to devotion. Some believe and receive, while others neglect and reject. What is your choice today? The fourth one is this: share the gospel. We've been talking about this throughout Acts all the time. We need to go and share the gospel. Matthew gives more space on the journey of the wise men from a distant land than he does on the actual birth of Jesus. This shows us once again that His heart is for all people, not just the geographical group that was closest to Him. We must continue to focus on the nation, on all of the nations, because the message of Christmas is good news of great joy for all people. The Israelites should have known the words of Isaiah 49. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is what we need to do, folks. God's plan of salvation is so amazing and so huge, it cannot be limited to just one group of people. The Messiah is the light of the world for all people. So share the gospel. And the last thing is this, number five, refuse to go back to the old, or go back the old route. Matthew chapter 2, verse 12 says that the wise men returned to their country by another route. Once we met Jesus, our lives will never be the same. We can't go back to where we were because God is now in our lives. He has a different route for us to take. When you bow before Jesus, you can't go back to the way you came because of who He is. He wants to take you in a new direction. The old way is sin. The new way is forgiveness. The old is death. The new is life. The old is life on your own. The new is life with Jesus. Never forget that wise men still seek Him today. Are you one of them? These five choices to make, they will you respond to how God is reaching out to you? Will you determine to go? Will you believe and receive Jesus? Are you willing to share the gospel news with those who need to hear it? And by the way, that's everyone. Will you refuse to go back to your old ways? These are your choices. Will you go and make careful search of the child or for the child? And when you have found him, go and tell others that they too may go and worship him. The newborn king, will you be faithful? O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Shall we stand and sing together?